This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, March 15, 2020. The Third Sunday of Lent, by Father William Doc Holliday.
The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You cannot be in this place more than a couple weeks and not know that there is a tremendous emphasis on the Word of God. I speak of how important it is all the time, but today is a good day because the Word of God itself speaks about the Word of God. When we hear that phrase, the Word of God, the Gospel of the Lord, we have to understand that let's deep it. These are not just words. It is God telling us who He is. It is God presenting Himself to us. That's why we call it revelation. He has revealed Himself to us through His Word. The traditions of our church, the magisterial teachings of our church, are founded on what God has revealed about Himself. And it is right. And it rejoices the hearts that have been opened by the grace of God to understand this. This idea of revelation, in the Psalms, it can be called all kinds of things. The law, the testimonies, the precepts, the commandments, the ordinances, all of these things speak of what God has told us about Himself. We cannot form a God of our own liking. We cannot have a God that we've made in our own mind. That's called an idol. That is idolatry. We need to appreciate Him for who He is. We do not mold Him. He molds us. We do not conform the Word to fit what we think about Him, our theology. We conform our theology, what we think about Him, to the Scriptures and what He has revealed about Himself. This law that God has shown us, you should feel very, very special that He's opened your eyes to it. This Psalm, Psalm 19, 18 for those of you who use an older English version. This Psalm is bifurcated. There are two parts. The first part is God proclaiming that He reveals Himself in creation. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth His handiwork. You cannot live in this world. And this is not me saying it, it's God saying it, both Old and New Testaments. You cannot live and walk in this world and deny that there is a God. You are without excuse if you deny that there is a God and you walk in this world. Those are the words that St. Paul uses under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You are without excuse. So every pagan says, well, I don't believe it. I've never been to church, so I can't be held accountable. Yes, you are. You're without excuse. You can't walk around there and look at the design, the order, the roles of things, the way He has set things up, and deny that there is a God, that there is a creator of creation. How many times do they refer to the pagan? Creation, creation. What does creation necessitate? A creator. Creation just doesn't happen. Somebody created it. It's God. Okay? That's why we're without excuse. But I said, we have something very special. That's, creation is called general revelation. It's generally there. Do with it what you will, but it's there. Scripture is special revelation. It's special. It's precise. It doesn't just give us this general understanding of God's design and His order. Special revelation lets us know particularly about God. It lets us know about Him specifically. in his totality. He's gracious and merciful and he loves me, period. No. He's gracious, he's merciful, and he loves you, and he's righteous and just, and you need to love him back. This is what God has revealed to himself. He's revealed the glories of heaven. That's why we're here. We have an ulterior motive, and it's not bad. We have an ulterior motive. We want to go to heaven. All right? We can't just leave it at that. If you don't go to heaven, it lets us know that there's somewhere else where you may go. Hell. And just like heaven is eternity with God and great things for all eternity, hell is separation from God and torment and suffering for all eternity. We know that from his revelation. We know that we're warned. It's a warning that he's given us. We have to appreciate that. He's warned us about, you go here, this is going to happen. You go here, that's going to happen. It's definitive. It's objective. I don't know how many times I hear people, I wish I knew the will of God. Oh, check. Stop right there. He's answered your prayer. It's in the book. You know, he gives us general parameters that we know his will in any given situation. We know where we're outside of his will. We have to appreciate these things that he's given us. Because like I said, general revelation, that's a natural thing. What we're talking about, God's word, is a supernatural thing. It's supernatural. There's something going on with the Holy Spirit in you that make you believe, allow you to believe what he says, as opposed to those out there who think it's nothing but a bunch of drivel. Just a book written by a bunch of white guys around a campfire a couple hundred years ago. You know, this ridiculous nonsense. Okay? And you get that a lot from people. Stupid remarks like that. It's the word of God. It's him speaking to us. So he's got a problem with people. I'm just not much of a Bible reader. That goes in my ear and through my filters I hear, I really don't want to hear what God has to say to me. You just let me know about that. That's not how it works. That's not how it works, because he shows us grace and we must cooperate with those graces. These graces that he's given us in this word, they are, as it says in the psalm, they are more to be desired than gold. Than much fine gold. Just think in your own head. For many of us, it's think about yourself. But just think about people that you may know and what they will go through and what they will sacrifice and what they will do for a little bit more. A little bit more money, another girlfriend or two, boyfriend or two. And all these things that we just got to have that. Can't have enough. That's exactly it. You just can't have enough of that stuff. We love stuff. And the scriptures tell us, God speaking to us says, these things in scripture are more to be desired than anything you could possibly have here. It's not wrong to endeavor to get stuff as long as you use it correctly. Not a problem with it at all. You know, you're not going to hell if you're rich, as long as you use what God has given you appropriately with proper stewardship. That's why he uses a lot of rich people, because they can do things that those of us who are not rich cannot do. So they're useful, different parts of the body. We got to appreciate that. But scripture is more to be desired than anything in this world. This is where we start to see this action of grace. My own personal journey back to the church after being gone for 25 years, my journey back started with, and nobody challenged me to do it. Nobody said, hey, read the Gospel of John, read Genesis. Nobody even said, read the Bible. I just did, from cover to cover. Okay, this is a guy who's been out of the church for over two decades. I read the scripture, of course, I don't get it. But something supernatural happened. The Holy Spirit, when I was done reading, it took me about 2 years, almost two and a half, to get through it cover to cover. But after I got done, I was dumbfounded by the fact that I didn't question anything that I'd read. And there's a lot of really interesting things in there that really don't conform to the way we view things. I didn't deny one thing. That struck me. Why don't I question? Why don't I say, that's ridiculous? Why don't I question miracles? Why don't I just put it in the category of mythological teachings that manifest, you know, Satan's just the, you know, the word that we use for people's evil. Now, why didn't I put, that's the Holy Spirit. It's grace. So when we start to cooperate with God's grace in drawing us in His Word, we just have a cursory interest. I don't read the Bible. So everybody talks about the Bible. I want to read it. There are a lot of people start reading it because they want to refute what people talk about the Bible. That's why they approach. And then the Holy Spirit uses it, and it's like, oh my gosh, this is true. Why do you say that? Because it's the Holy Spirit. And the more you let God speak to you, the closer He's going to draw you to Himself, and you will learn to love His law. You will love to learn and love His precepts. And after you start to love them, it's just like in this world, when you get close to somebody, those of you who are married know this, when you start to really appreciate someone, you want to spend more time with them. If you learn to love the Scripture, you want to start to learn more about what God says about Himself. And I always point out, there's not a week that goes by, and I mean that literally, there's not a week go by, and I have read that thing cover to cover more times than I can count. I'm in it every single day for the liturgy hours, for homilies, every single day, and there's not a week that goes by that I can go, I've never seen that before. Not that I haven't read it before, it just hasn't clicked with something that's going on in a particular verse or a particular passage. Had an application to it. This is what happens when He draws you closer. And once you start getting drawn closer, you're like, I need to start living this. I need to start observing the Word of God. And when you start doing that, then that's what fosters that, what we hear in the liturgy, that peace which passeth all understanding. No matter what's going on around us, we have a solace within ourselves. Peace, as I always point out, not an absence of conflict, but a solace in the conflict, a peace about us when no matter what's going on. And it's not a matter of just, well, he just said, if I read the Bible, everything's going to be okay. That is completely wrong. This is not a mechanical approach to things getting better in your life. The Bible's not a self-help book, the way we look at most self-help books. It is, but it's much more deep than most. It's not mechanical. We have to understand that it is supernatural, and supernatural things necessitate the work of the Holy Spirit within us. We have to understand that the grace of God that is given us to crack the book open in the first place, that's the beginning of the grace. Then you have to delve into it more and more. You are such to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and cooperation with the grace is not an either-or proposition. This nonsense that you hear from your Protestant friends, grace alone, ridiculous. They're all about Scripture alone. Scripture negates that whole premise that it's grace alone. We cooperate with the graces of God. Every passage we read on judgment, what are we judged on? Your faith? Never once. Your works. Okay? So that whole thing's ridiculous. We cooperate with the grace that God shows us. His grace starts the ball rolling, but then we've got to run after the ball. His grace is an invitation. Come and see. Come and read. How many of us have Bibles in the house that have dust on them? Come and see. That's grace. It's an invitation. Come and see from God is the grace of invitation. But what happens if you get an invitation to like this really cool social event? You walk around bragging about the invitation that you got. And then they go, well, how was the event? Well, I don't know. I didn't go. You got an invitation. Yeah. Isn't that cool? Yeah, it was really cool that you got that. You didn't go. So you didn't benefit one bit from the invitation. God's invitation is the Scripture. Read the invitation. He says, come and see. When Nathanael tells Philip, hey, found the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. What good can come out of Nazareth? What does he respond? Here, let me explain to you what he said and all that. He doesn't explain anything. He said, come and see. An invitation. Philip could have went, no, I'm not going to go listen to anybody who came from Nazareth. He'd be a godless heathen from then on. But he did go and see. So we have an invitation, come and see, but we have to accept the invitation. We have to go and see. This is what we have to understand about how the Scriptures work, grace and cooperation with that grace. People who barely ever read, if ever, or don't understand at all Scripture and just rely on what you hear and hear, that's problematic, particularly in the vast majority of places, because most of you know that I love nothing better than to get up here and do a homily on what you didn't hear in the lectionary. Why? Because you need to know the entire Word of God. You need to know everything He says about Himself, not those difficult passages. There's no such thing. Our faith is difficult. You know, it gets more difficult when you don't tell everything. It's more difficult when you tell a person grace and mercy, He loves you, and then one of their kids dies. You lose a loved one. Then all of a sudden, it's like, where's that grace and mercy that I hear about every single week? Well, when I'm not hearing about missions, appeals, and immigration. Okay? This is problematic because it makes your faith not real. But if you understand that in this world you will have tribulation, but fear not, I have overcome the world. We need to hear that also. That gives us comfort. That's when life gets real. We also step back and go, you know, this is bad, but I've overcome the world. Our Lord Jesus Christ, He lost St. Joseph. His blessed mother had to sit and watch Him die. So, you know, for us to sit back, oh, my mom shouldn't have died. I loved her so much. Our Lord is tempted in every way we are, yet did not sin. It's a sin to get so caught up in things like that in this world and not understand the peace and solace that He gives us. Look at today. And I mean today, like right now. I don't mean in here. I'm talking in a lot of places, though. There's a demonstration that there are a lot of people, many in authority in the church, who are not cooperating with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. They talk about His Word and have talked about it for years. They talk about how merciful, how gracious God is. But now, this whole thing with the virus, little news flashes like, there are many more people dying of the common flu as we speak than that virus. But what do we have? Prelates closing churches. This is what I mean about not cooperating with the graces. Because what is the Word of God? Today's readings, the first reading, talking about the people wanting water. They're wanting water. They're going to rebel against Moses because they're not receiving water, and He gives them water that quenches their thirst at that time. But they get thirsty again, and they want water again. And then the gospel, our Lord Jesus Christ says, I in the living waters. You drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. Should we not believe that? I'm the living water, and our prelates are turning off the faucet. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. There's new room for that. A lot of people in the inn today. Come to me. I want to come to God because I'm weary and heavy laden of all this stuff out here. And oh, He's not here to give you refreshment. It's civilly and morally responsible. It's morally reprehensible. Nothing less than. And civilly, the last time I read, we are in the world, but we are not of it. And I read the Holy Spirit in another place says that if we try to please man, we do not please God. Practical atheism. That's what it is. Not cooperating with the graces of His Word and what He has told us about. I know you've told us about yourself, but I really don't believe it. Because there's like a virus going around, people get sick. Lack of cooperation with grace. It's an affront to God. Before every homily in this place, I use the words of Psalm 19. May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. How can my words be acceptable in His sight or the meditation of your heart if you only get partial truths or if I give you this big spiel today of how come I'm not going to have holy water in the fonts, or I'm going to throw communion to you because I want to get near you because there's a virus around. There's always viruses around, right? That's when we step up. It's not when we show cowardice. Then our words are acceptable in His sight. Our meditation of our hearts are acceptable in His sight if we live them. This is what He's called us to do. The precepts of the Lord are right. They rejoice the heart. We can't approach it and say, it says that, but we can't live that. We're supposed to read it first and foremost, but then we're supposed to live it. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.